what should we look at?
Well, on last Thursday night, I believe, I talked about the fact that I was signed up to make a bunch of phone calls, sort of get out the door calls, and how that's like my idea of hell, just have to make phone calls. So I just want to say I made 3 calls the last 2 days. And yesterday I made 15, and this today I made 15, and I'm so glad that the 15 I made yesterday were my first call. Because, first of all, almost nobody's home, for starters. But
they don't answer their phone. Nobody answers their phone.
But the people I talked to were delightful and gracious and thanked me so much for calling and telling me how wonderful it was that I called and how helpful it was. So I was just kind of zooming around the house. And then today, the people I talked to were somewhere between tolerant and hostile. So it was a whole different experience. And great practice in not taking things personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So you made them from your house?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Extraordinary. I actually did the same thing, only I had to go somewhere and put on a headset and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, actually,
and it was arranged so that all of the people that we talked to were agreeable, shared a perspective.
Well, one of the things that the people I talked to were too.
Oh, I see.
Give them a little initial beside their name,
but not
necessarily. And I expressed last week, you know, I'm somebody, if I can tell that there's that kind of solicitation call on the phone, I just hang up. So I understand hostility. Or just, I don't want this. But, today that was, you know, I just had people say, I would say, you know, I want to ask you these questions. They say, no. And so I got to experience that. And it was like, you know, that's just like one of my worst fears. And it was just a day at the office.
Yeah.
And it was okay, and I survived. And
yeah.
So I didn't hyperventilate or faint or.
Yeah. It's just, it's such a lesson in projection.
It is.
And that we really have no control over what anybody is doing or thinking or mm-hmm. how they're being or anything like that.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with us.
Right.
But I bet you will be a little different when somebody calls in the future, huh?
Not necessarily. Some people are picking up and I can do that kind of phone bank sound in the background.
Oh.
And there are certain calls I've come to recognize when the voice comes up. And other times I actually do, there are certain other people I do respond to. But yeah, I mean, when the people didn't want to talk to me, I mean, I get it. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to talk to people when they call me out of the blue either. But it's interesting because, you know, given what I've gotten engaged in this year, it's been a whole year of doing these things that aren't me. And it's a very good experience.
Very good experience.
Yeah.
You'll be running for office next time.
Not me, Sherry.
Well, I really appreciate you being here. I hear you on these different shows, and I know you were across the country, and then you're in the Bay Area, and then it's like, well, maybe she won't be able to make it out tonight. Here you are.
Here she is.
Wow, you know, gosh. I just really appreciated celebrating no self-hate.
You know, nobody mentioned it. I didn't know if they all succumbed to self-hate or I thought, sure, you know, people were going to say, boy, did I have fun yesterday. But nobody did, so.
I did.
You're my first.
It was so fun. It was like life wasn't going to let me not have a good time. Every time there was like a little something going this way, you know, something would show up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like the dogs were so funny. Like they Sadie like all morning kept like looking at me like this, like, now can we go for a walk? Now can we go for a walk? And we went for a walk all the way around the property and I was still kind of feeling something and she like wasn't done. Just kind of sat there like this. And so we walked part way up Meadow Road until I was like, you're done. You guys are wearing me out here. But their energy just, it was like.
Audrey went with you?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, which was also a double whammy, because the day before, he didn't go with us. He was like, I'm not going. So, it was, I mean, it's just one of those things all day, where, like, life never gives up on us. Life, you know, it just felt like they were just embodying that. There's no way I could go to tell Pete if that's what they're going to do.
Right.
Yeah. Which is actually what I project onto you as well. The other cool thing was, been in this like, on this like little addictive behavior at night that I just was like, well, I'll just keep looking at it, or I'll stop doing it tomorrow, just on and on. And it was just like, I'm not doing it tonight. Like, I just can't. In the face of what we're all celebrating today, and then and looking in that love, there's just no way I can justify doing this. Mm-hmm. And I didn't.
So out of integrity, I just can't do it. And if I can't do it tonight, mm-hmm. well, then why do it tomorrow?
Well, and I have been doing a lot of looking and recording, and it was like, I do check throughout the day because it tried to get me to believe it was just this one little thing, this thing at this time. But the process starts... It's around the clock.
Uh-huh.
Because it has to justify doing the behavior. So it's got to get me to feel bad or not like I'm feeling or something like that mm-hmm. to justify the behavior. Well, that doesn't just start right before I do the behavior. Uh-huh. That's starting like way early in the day. Mm-hmm. I just would start catching a little campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're identified with that, it doesn't feel, and then it feels like, well, I'm going to do it. I have to do it. I'm identified with that part of the deal.
Right. Too late.
Yeah, exactly. It's too late. I have to do it.
And so tomorrow.
And so not doing it, it's like, I could feel the difference. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a cloud. There wasn't that conversation about, I can't believe you did that again. Because, like, well, I didn't. Uh-huh. And then it was like, well, let's keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew that I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great to look at it in the moment while you're doing it, but I also knew I just don't want to, feed the ego addiction, which is essentially what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh gosh, just to be inspired, and life just keeps doing that.
Yeah. Right. Well, and the to have that experience of, granted, we don't have control, but I'm making the choices for my life here.
Mm-hmm.
I choose what I do and what I don't do, and knowing that you can trust yourself in that way is just a it's like drawing about 6 inches taller.
Exactly. That's exactly what was on the recorder. I feel taller. I feel like mm-hmm. my shoulders are back. I feel like a little bit more like defined.
Mm-hmm.
There's no kind of hunching over. And
giving in.
Yeah. And then you can feel the momentum. It's like, no, I'm not doing that either. No, I'm not having that conversation.
You're right.
Egos. It's really building. And let's build the case. And I just, in general, I've been watching, like, we can trust the process. So just like a real brief update on the little family thing, I did have a letter from my mom, and one of the things she said about our phone call was, she goes, yeah, that was kind of painful to have in the conversation with you, and I really appreciate how well you listened to me, and I know you practiced that, and I'm grateful, and it was an honest conversation, and I'm grateful for that, too. And I just, and my brother hasn't written me for 3 months, and I don't know what's going on with him, but there's just this, like, it'll be fine, however it is. And I've never really had that with family before. Mm-hmm. With always the trying to, well, relationships in general.
Mm-hmm.
Working, managing, too far, too close, and just to get in a place of step back, like, and I can move into it, I can really feel it, like, I will facilitate whatever happens, not just out there in that conversation with that person, but in here.
Mm-hmm. It's an unconditional whatever.
It really feels like that, mm-hmm. which really highlights when I'm in the conversation, but I don't know, and then if I say it, it's like, the same thing, we're not doing that, we don't need to do that,
right.
Look what's available.
Mm-hmm.
And just that thing, you know, just thinking about like the Buddha, not comparing myself to the Buddha, but that he left his family, you know, and gosh, I don't know what that was like, but then they ended up following him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it just seems like you just have to trust, no matter what the voices are saying or what other people are saying, that you know what's so,
mm-hmm.
and just to stay there.
Well, and we know what the alternative is.
Yeah.
You know, we know what conditioned relationships are like. We know where that goes. All, we can look in any direction in the world and see where that goes. So to trust what is true for us in every other aspect of our lives just kind of makes sense.
Yeah, and actually when you're saying that, like, it's not really a risk. Like you said, once you know the tremendous suffering that goes on in choosing ego, it's like, I think we'll give that up, you know?
Yeah.
As long as we're clear that we're not ego. Mm-hmm. Otherwise it feels normal and fine. And
yes, or normal and not fine.
But I love that because I'm ego and I love to suffer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, right. The not fine is what we're going for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you. So go ahead.
A couple things. First, in that conversation about relationships, I was just having the insight this morning that it just seems like we've practiced so many things that it seemed I was going, let's see, how can I say this, that I was losing, letting go of, came to me, let's see, I don't know what I want. It seems like you're headed right away from the thing that your heart, you know, that that you're headed toward what your heart desires, and in that journey, you're losing a whole lot of stuff that you thought you wanted,
mm-hmm.
and then you end up getting
all of it,
and what, you know.
And it's so perfect because you can't let stuff go in order to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And try that,
yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So it has to be an absolute sincere,
total.
Just give it all up,
yeah.
Let it all go.
Yeah.
And here it goes. In the 60s, there was this poster along with the Desiderata that said that, it's probably still around somewhere, if you love something, let it go. It comes back to you. It's yours.
Yeah.
Drugs.
Tremendous upside. Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to look at something, an experience I had with doing a year-long retreat, and I've been looking a lot at control, how I'm controlled, how, you know, and two of the exercises. One was, what's your favorite animal? And the other one, if money were no object.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened there, but it just was like, boom. I saw, what is your favorite animal? Was started it. Because, there was my unfavorite animal right there. That was easy. But my favorite animal, turned into this big conversation, you know. About, is that really an animal? I don't think that's an animal. You better check it out. You know, it doesn't qualify. And I just saw how that goes on all the time. You know? And
I think the point was on favorite.
Yeah. Well, it was getting it right. And so then the next night, so I was kind of crying. And the next night was, if money were no object, I became completely paralyzed.
Mm.
Completely paralyzed. I just sat there, and I couldn't move my hand, I couldn't do anything. And it was one of those times when it was just so obvious. It was funny. And it's like, what is going on here? It is not possible to answer this question. And of course, I started laughing. I thought, you know, it is possible, and this is a fun question,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so I just picked up the pen and started to write. And of course, stuff came out
mm-hmm.
that was, you know, and there was a lot of commentary on what what I was writing and whether, you know. But there was something about it that was really exciting to me. It was like just really seeing a little bit closer up how I'm controlled.
Mm-hmm. To the point of paralysis.
Like, oh my gosh. To just see it so in my face, just, you know, that this is, and just seeing that that's going on a lot unnoticed.
Right, yes. Yeah. Because in that situation, you're just sitting there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's happening. Uh-huh. Yeah. If you were in the kitchen, or you're in the garden, or you're somewhere else, it might not be so clear.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's no, I mean, it's just the book and me. You know? It's not.
Well,
there's really nothing at risk here, except this, a human might get a sense of possibility or what it is that, you know, lights them up, or
all very threatening stuff.
All very threatening stuff, and how we just cannot have that, even in that. You know.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because it will risk doing something like that. I mean, what a hard place, really, for that system. Right? Because it's either going to hide out, in which case you're going to do the exercise, which is not good, or it's going to come out, and you're going to see it, which is not good.
Yeah. So, it can't, yeah.
Which is a real argument of practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what the exciting part was. Mm-hmm. It felt like just having it in the corner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it was cornered instead of I was cornered. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, I do want to see more. I want to see more of this and more of this and more of this. So it was just...
Fortunately, we had...
There was something about those two back to back that just.
I have to tell you, the funniest thing is happening. So, across the. If you been seeing,
I did catch it.
Here comes the cat. Here comes the cat. They're on their fourth month. So kind of goes along with the dogs.
There are guard cats. The guard cats.
Ah.
They're patrolling.
The archway. Anyway, yeah. So that.
And so, did you discover if money were no object, where you would tell what you would do?
Yeah, I wrote down something totally frivolous. You know, that it told me it was frivolous. Like, that's not very spiritual. But of course it did. I mean, yeah. I would go someplace with some of my really favorite people who kind of surprised me who they were. But I knew that. But it was like, see, there was like, they wouldn't want to go on a trip with me, you know, that self-hate stuff. And it's like, you know? Yeah, those are the folks, they're really fun. They don't have self-hate going on, they don't have ego going on. That's who I want to go with. Mm-hmm. And I want to go to these, you know, New Zealand and blah, 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 blah. And then I'm going to hire a cook when we get there, and that cook is going to cook wonderful organic food for all of us the whole time we're there, and we're going to invite people in that don't have food. We're going to find strangers every night to share. It just like went on and on and on. And so I had a great time. Once I broke through the paralysis.
That doesn't feel all that frivolous at this point, does it?
I see, but no. No. It just had to tell me how if I had all the money in the world, I would just give it all away and lay down and eat dirt or something. I mean, I don't know. You know, just what would be a good spiritual thing to do. That's what I wanted to do. But I can't. Yeah.
not exactly the source of spiritual wisdom that we would want to look to.
No. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Good.
So happy to be here. I just wanted to say a little something. I didn't have anything prepared.
That's good.
Intentionally. And just having a great time. And yesterday was fantastic. The morning was extra tough, but I had that recording I had made especially for that morning, and that helped a lot. And then practicing the not checking in with how I feel. That, I think you said that a few weeks ago or months ago, and that's been so helpful that I thought, wow, Sherry wakes up and doesn't say, how do you feel? You know, first you have your tea and you sit and then kind of check in. And it's like,
okay. RL.
And
get RL.
Before that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, how do I feel? And I feel great.
And just feeling just so happy about working hard and being here and what to share. Well, something huge that feels such a weight off my shoulders is realizing that, or just giving myself a break and just saying, yeah, you know, all these things happened that I wish didn't happen. And I live in a small town now, and people, I don't know,
You know, I got a really small town, Chris.
Yeah. and it feels like, oh, people know this and that, and whatever, shame and this and that. But just to feel, to give this person a break and say, you know, I've been dealing, or this karma's been rolling for who knows how long. And so what if it takes what it takes? You know, I mean, here I am now, and I just, it's all that matters is now type of feeling. And just in so many ways, and I've been doing lots of recordings about it, like even though I'm doing a 30-day retreat on mindful eating, and something that popped up while I was recording was, well, what if this karma has starved, you know, the world to death 1,000 lifetimes, or, you know, like, so what if I eat more calories than I burned? Well, now I'm here to help you, you know, be fit and healthy, and just things like that. Just so, just so, such a relief, because I was feeling so guilty, like, oh, I was here 5 years ago, and I knew what to do, and I left, and then I just went off and dove into other unconsciousness, and that's not even necessarily all true either. I mean, I was practicing also, but I'm here now, and it just
and it takes what it takes.
And I'm so inspired by everyone here, and by like working in the garden with Penny, and you, and everyone. I had this thought that, like, I blew my life. You know, I'm 45, I'm so old now, and I never got married, I never had a kid, I never, lots of things, I never got this together, that together, lots of stories about that, and it's, now it's like, well, whatever, I'm alive, thankfully, luckily, so many times could have been the other way, just by being careless and unconscious, and I'm excited, like, maybe I can do political work, or I can do this or that, who knows what, you know, I just feel like I can be however I am, and practicing as a middle-aged person, and hopefully as an older person, if I live longer, and it's not, like, too late, you know, it's still good. Yeah.
Definitely not too late. Definitely not.
That's I can just go on and on, but that's good for now.
Yeah.
It's good
well,
to see
it's,
it.
Yeah, and it's really important, and it's true for all of us, that that system would like us to look back over our lives and count all of the, again and again, all of the mistakes, all of the lost opportunities, all of the whatever, and just that realization that every step brought me here, and it doesn't, none of that matters. It just doesn't matter. And it's not like now, going forward, it's all going to be clear sailing, right? Because the same kinds of opportunities come up, at least in my experience, all of our lives. We have new things that we encounter in order to transcend. And that just seems to be what human life is. Did I have to say this somewhere just to myself that the old age, sickness, and death, old age part is really not that bad, right? As long as the sickness and death stuff doesn't come with it, then it's fine. And you've got a long ways to go before you have to worry about any of those things. So, yeah, time to enjoy it. Why don't we just come down this way?
Well, me too, about the gratitude for the self-hate day and just how much fun it was. And I woke up this morning and was like, I'm going to say today's no self-hate day.
Yes!
And I'm going to continue that. Mm-hmm. I was just, I mean, my God, it's so beautiful, the weather, the everything. So.
Well, and you know, excuse me for interrupting, but there is no reason ever to experience self-hate. Right? I mean, once we see that, then it serves absolutely no good purpose.
Yes.
Then, yes, I can commit to no self-hate every day.
Yeah.
And in fact, when we step open that mind and realize if there were anything wrong, if there really were a mistake, it would be indulging self-hate.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I had that same thought when I was coming up from, I was just walking up from the office sometime today, and something had happened where I would have normally, or in the past, gone to guilt, and I had the sweetest experience of, I'm not feeling guilty. I am not feeling guilty. I mean, I knew where I would have felt it in the body. I know where it would have done with the energy. And it's like, score. that was just huge to just get that. And it's the same thing with self-hate. It's like, that's just, you know, there's just one of the flavor of it. Like, I never have to... If I think I did something wrong, you know, I mean, and so it's like, and I don't have to feel guilty.
That's right. And so I can take that awareness, and I can recommit to not going unconscious under those circumstances and repeating that behavior.
And being grateful that somebody pointed it out to me. And I'm truly grateful. I mean, there's one there, yes, thank you. But then there's
thank you so much for pointing out that I did wrong.
But really feeling it.
Yeah.
Totally different thing. And so I had this, the eve of No Self-Hate Day last night, this a remarkable experience of recording and listening that I just got to tell you about. So it was around writing. You know, I have this set time to work on this writing project. Talk about kalpas and creativity and whatever karma this is all going on, and it processes the outcome, and not, you know, all of this kind of stuff is all these workshops together in this one big activity. And I have recently, because I've been doing this for months now, but I've recently hit a hard place, or I have, and you know, feeling that, oh, I got to show up for this commitment thing again. And what dropped in was to use the two-handed recording exercise to access the wisdom. So what I would do, where I, the last part of where I'd written and I got stuck, I would read it into the recorder, just the last paragraph or two. And then I would listen to it, and the mentor, and see what the mentor would have to say next. And I couldn't, and the interesting thing was I couldn't be reading it while I was listening. I had to get out of my eyes in order to shift to the to disidentify to the mentor part. So I would just look away from the words and listen. And sure enough, it would just be there. And then, it was so interesting, because I tried to type what was just there, and I couldn't do that. I had to actually say it and then transcribe it. Do you know what I mean? Do you follow me?
Yeah.
And so it was really like I had to bypass the
interruption.
The interruption, where the interruption was living. And then I would, you know, and then I would look over and it would feel so light and so fun, you know, and inspired. So then I would read it again.
Read it again.
It was like, I mean, who would have ever, I would have never thought of that in a million years to do that. But what I mean, it was just so neat to see the wisdom and the kindness of life, because all these months and years that I've been training with that exercise, I knew how to access that from that two-handed recording exercise, but I had never applied it in this other way, and I had been trying to access it in this other way, and I just, in black, was just like, I mean, it just didn't even, it dropped in without even words. Just go to this.
That's the best part right there, isn't it?
It is.
Just tell me what the next step is.
Yes.
And then you do it, there it is.
That's right. And what evaporated in this, because that's the best part, any attachment to the page and the evaporated, because this was the best part. I thought that was supposed to be the best part, but it wasn't. This was the best part. And so to get a real experience of that in a powerful
way. So you're training yourself to let life do the writing.
Yeah.
Right? And soon you'll be able to just take out the middle person altogether.
You know, I thought of what you had said. I mean, I've thought of that a zillion times. Like, okay, Sherry says it just, she's just the finger. So I was just trying to be the finger, you know. I was trying to do that, you know. And when that happened, I really did feel like, oh, I'm just the transcriber. And I knew, and I thought, that's what she's talking about. That's so cool. And when you say take out the middle person,
The reading,
and transcribe,
you know, all of that.
Oh, that would be a little faster. Yeah.
And I don't know this, but I suspect that it's because you still believe that you need to participate in some way.
I think that's it. Yeah. Oh, that's a very key phrase. Yeah, that's really good to shine on that belief that I need to participate. Better than when you say it out loud. Well, sit you down. When you've had that experience of like, all I was doing was pushing the button, you know, and listening. And that's the middle one. Oh, that's great.
And there's no hurry, right? I mean, it's fun to do it the way you're doing it. And when I'm working on something, I often do that process of just going back and reading what came before, and then you're in the group.
And you kind of jump on your surfboard and off you go.
Yeah,
there's something you just said. There's no hurry. And part of why I can totally see there's no hurry is because the outcome isn't the point.
Right.
Once I'm free of that.
Yes. Yeah. That you have to produce something, that it has to be good, that this is going somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as we realize that's not true, then.
And those are all just ways I'm participating. And so that's getting stripped away and stripped away, you know.
Yeah. Because it'll be on life's time and. Say what life wants to say.
and you can enjoy the process.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to say a couple things about the year-long retreat. First of all, when we began and got this beautiful new book in the mail, fresh,
it smelled brand new.
Yeah, and so
it hadn't even been touched by a bookstore.
Yeah, and we were, well, I don't know if it said it in the book or if we were told in some of the instructions, but to just go ahead and use the book, you know, just write, draw, whatever, in the book. And I was like, that kind of thing. But it didn't take hold at all. I just opened the book. I just started doing it. And I got these colored pencils when it came to draw life, and then it was like, normally it would have been draw life. I would have sat there forever and noodled on what does that mean and what would I like to have in my life and blah, blah, blah. I just started doodling around and then coloring it in and having a good time. And I looked at it afterwards and I thought, gosh, it looks like it should have some more of this one. I thought, well, if I feel like doing that later, I will. I mean, it just is kind of different. I could feel the process I was, because I had the older book, and I never got to the end of it, because it was like, it was too hard or something.
Yes. Well, and doing it together, we can see why. Mm-hmm. What people talk about.
Yeah.
Is aligning for them as a result of doing this, we can see why. On our own, very, very hard.
Yeah. And so the other thing I wanted to mention was that I'm working on this other project, exploring the process, and I'm kind of staying with exploring this process for longer than I've ever done any single process. I think because it's one of those foundational processes, and I've been stuck in this process for a long time, so I'm really wanting to, and I've looked at it before, but I just want to get down underneath it. And so I've done a process map, and I've gone through it twice with someone else. We did back and forth facilitating on the second time of doing that. And it's all that process has been really helpful, you know, to, like you say, do it with somebody, hear myself say things out loud, make recordings, listen to them, all that. But what was phenomenal this last time, that I had an assignment that was kind of moving me on the cusp of doing something different in the process, not staying in the stuck place, but making a move. And the exercises that were up in the how you do it, the how book, were so perfect. Because my first commitment for the week of the practice I was doing was to really explore why I'm doing the thing that I'm not doing. Why I said I would do the thing that I'm not doing, because I'm stuck. And so the first thing,
I imagine you spent a lot of time in the not doing it.
Yeah.
So now you've backed it up to, but why did I say I was going to do this?
Exactly.
Thing?
Yeah, because I'm really wanting to move into actually doing it, because I've discovered that there are beliefs that I don't want to do this, that I can't do this, and all this sort of thing, when I realize I haven't really allowed myself to put myself into it in any kind of real 100% way. Mm-hmm. So I'm moving towards wanting to allow the human to be able to have that experience, and then let's see, So the first question that I hadn't done was, what are your 10 most important things? And it was like really making me look at the reason I was doing this was because it was going to be leading me towards the things that I value, the processes, the qualities that I value. Mm-hmm. So that was like...
That's why you agreed to do this thing in the first place.
Yes, yes.
And then you don't do it.
Then conditioning grabs a hold of all of it, and there's this believability that this isn't what I want to do with my life, the physical stuff that you have to do. Okay, so then, that was just like, that exercise was just perfect for, it was like, this was the assignment over here, this was the assignment over here, boom, they were perfect together. So it just kept being like that. If you could have any gift, mm-hmm. and there was no money, didn't make any difference. So that brought up all these values again, because it wasn't like I wanted a car or a, maybe money to pay my house or something like that, but, there wasn't anything content-wise that really came up, but it was all these values again, mm-hmm. which, same thing, are fundamental to the reason that I agreed to do this other thing. And it just kept going like that. And I just thought, this is like life, how life is so perfect. It's like life is so perfect because I've been looking at this for a long time, but I haven't really gotten focused on why did I say I was going to do it? What is it that I really want? What is it I'm going for? And so going through all whatever I've gone through, for all this stuff being stuck, seems like, like I think it was said earlier, go through what we need to go through to get where we need to get. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And that wonderful experience of feeling so cared for.
Cared for, yeah.
It's not, we're not able to wander off and not face things.
Right.
Such a gift.
And to realize that nothing, being stuck as long as I've been stuck is just really, in some ways I can just hardly believe it. But it just doesn't seem possible. How much would you have to ignore for how long? But apparently that long.
that long.
And so, and having it seems like there's a lot more willingness to see what's going on, mm-hmm. and to be grateful for seeing it, and to bring love and compassion to the conditioned human being that's caught in this horrible conditioned loop. And so, but then it's there. The those exercises were there. They were just there. Mm-hmm. And it's just like the pieces come together when the the teacher appears when the student is ready, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And so then it really does make one realize that you're being taken care of and that life is providing all along. It's probably been that same information's been there all along, but there wasn't the willingness hadn't been built up to see it.
Or that place that seems true for me, in the retreat last week, I felt like I was getting annoyed. because we're talking along and somebody would say, yeah, I know that. And I would say, I doubt that. Yeah. I doubt that. There's just that knee-jerk, yeah, I know that. I've heard that 1,000 times. Yeah, I know that.
Well, I know that.
Yeah, I know that.
I know that.
Come back to the breath.
That's my line.
that to me is what you're describing, right? So you've been in this situation, you've been in this situation, you've been in this this situation. It's not like you were unconscious. It's not like all of a sudden you went, huh? I mean, it's all very, very familiar to you. There's a lot that you know about it. Mm-hmm. A lot. So it's been coming together and coming together, and then one day there it is, and you really do feel like you know it.
Mm-hmm. Instead of wanting to avoid it, get away from it, escape it, ignore it, there was something that was open to being with it.
And again, all of that trying to ignore it, and it was just being in a different relationship with it.
Yeah.
And it's like there's something there, and by the time we're really, you know, we've completed everything, we've been in relationship with it from every angle that it's possible to be in relationship with it. So we know it thoroughly inside and out, which is why people get to that place with self-hate and really can't see the possibility of never indulging it again. Because we've seen it so clearly. Conditioning wants to make it that how long have you been doing this? But that's not it. And again, in my experience, the longer we practice, the more we're getting to the deeper and deeper and deeper layers. Now, it is true that getting to deeper and deeper layers gets easier and easier and easier, but that doesn't mean what we're seeing is easier.
It's just a beautiful thing to see how to be in the experience of that, just kind of coming together, and just makes me feel so totally grateful.
Just so taken care of.
Grateful.
Just walk around and thank you.
Just taken care of.
Sometimes I'm even. I have like two choices right now: talk or sleep. ditto on the gratitude for the no self-hate day in life, and just the miracle of that, and that. We're in the middle of the practice that just brought that forward. It's amazing. And the thing, I had a moment today where I'm not quite sure how to describe it, but it's that thing I've been looking at so much in my practice, and I feel like I hear it too from people, where when that option is stripped away, the self-hate option, There's kind of a way in which there's an intimacy of being forced right up against the suffering, because the self-hate feels like a bouncing away from it. It feels like what we're conditioned to do, to not go through that portal beyond it. And I just had this moment today, very familiar, hit the ground running, wow, lots of things, and that, back to the control, for this person, control is that's what we get talked into, control it, you get on top of it, and there's such, especially coming off of yesterday, and transitions are such a huge gift in terms of being mirrors, and such a commitment to eyes wide open, just watch it come in, however it comes in. If, you know, suffer, don't suffer, no standards there. Just let's see as much as we can see as things are shifting. And really, really watching that campaign to get on top of it. But such a, I'm also in this exquisite sort of, I guess you could call it a healing process, but a process of really working through some things. And that feels like such a precious process that it doesn't, there's such a commitment to not let that process of control take that all away. But what I thought
it would like to,
so
to make sure
much.
No healing ever happens.
Exactly. But so it's today was one of those days where, I mean, you know how Shani will talk about the narrative that gets put on top of something, and you could tell two completely different narratives. Like it could be, well, I mean, you just are right back into it. Da 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 da. But as I say, I had this exquisite moment today where I really, really felt, without the option of going to the self-hate, which is the control, that is the self-hate, the control, the being managed, the being driven, that mm-hmm. is the self-hate, of just this, well, the image actually, which I don't know where this comes from, but was one of like, holding myself up from drowning and being so tired of doing that, of just letting go. And if I need to drown, then I'm willing to drown.
And realizing maybe floating is an option.
Exactly. I mean, that's there's such a sense of, well, yeah.
That's what makes that really such a good image. Mm-hmm. Because those are my two choices.
Yeah.
Just hold on.
Exactly.
Cling.
Yeah.
Or drown.
Yes. Right. Thank you. Because I. Mm. Yeah. Again, the other thing, the other one that's just like that is like, I'm going to fall, I'm gonna, you know, over the cliff and then letting go and, you know, flying or floating or. Yeah.
Your chances are better than water. In case you're, considering.
I've been talking in groups the last few months. I've been having so much dreaming about flying. And actually, I had another one recently, which was really pretty extraordinary, which is that I was. So it happens when I'm when I realize I'm dreaming, and the first one, as soon as I realize I'm dreaming, I'm like. Let's fly. But I love that feeling. And recently I was inside a friend's house. And I was like, oh, I gotta go outside and find it. And I'm like, no, I'm dreaming. So, and I can fly. why do I have to go outside?
I just went
right up through the wall and out that, and it was the most extraordinary thing. Cause it was as if in the dream, I could feel what that felt like—the molecules of me going through that. I mean, it was so. But just that place of like, it's just so funny. Like, well, I have to go outside and find an open space so I can take off. Is made up. You know?
I am flying. I can do it from here.
Yeah, I can go through the wall. It's all made up. You know? But see, that's the thing that doesn't then translate when I'm in the middle of the, you know, but there's that hanging on. Mm-hmm. It's real, it's true, it's, and then it's like, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And so that that getting on top of it, making it happen, that's the, and you feel that tension in your body?
Oh, I can feel the tension in my body, the tension in the mind, the, yeah, just the emotions, it's throughout, it's absolutely throughout, yeah.
So that would be a good, fun thing to play with, right? You can just fly.
Yeah. Mm. You haven't put those two together yet. Yeah.
Because it's all made up.
It's all made up. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Just fly.
Glad to be here.
Happy even. Happy to be here?
Happy to be here.
Alright, good. I don't want to pressure you. Glad
I'm not sure what to
say. I've been practicing with dropping some paint, and it felt like I hit the limit of where I felt like I couldn't meet standards, and so there was nowhere to go but to have acceptance for them.
Isn't that a grand moment?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And did it occur to you that, gosh, I could have done this a long time? Save myself a lot of grief. Such a kind of a noble thing. You know, it's such a good, right person thing to do.
Are you sure you're not a woman?
Do you ever want under stress?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's over the course
of it. She's nodding. Yeah, yeah.
And I've been under stress.
So I'm pretty one. Yeah. You know, if we really could see, without any self-hate added to it, that how egocentric that is. And because it's up to me. You know, it's all about me. I have to do it right. I have to be the right person. I actually have to be better than everyone else, really. Good enough is better than everyone else. You know? And just stepping back and realizing the how lovable one becomes in humility. Mm-hmm. You know, to just acknowledge that it isn't up to us and we can't do it, and those standards are, well, we know they're bogus. And we don't actually want to meet them. But instead to go to that I will be done, and by the way, I can use all the help I can get. I'm drowning here. Do you have a sense of that, Amy?
I think so. I have a sense of the I'm drowning here. I'm not quite sure what to do to give up. I'm not quite sure what that looks like.
you ever been around somebody else who you had a sense was doing their best and being really unfairly judged by self-hate?
Probably. No specific situation coming to mind, but I'm sure it's been there.
You know, the kind of person that you want to help because you see their vulnerability and their goodness and that they're trying really hard and struggling. Like to frame as failure or inadequacy.
So that would be a better focus, but
on the person who is a really good person trying really hard, working really hard to do her best and being held to standards and then beaten for not meeting them after being kept from meeting them.
New ways or more believable ways or things going on at the body even that feel really believable.
Well, you know, things are. They are. Again, we have so much conditioning that things should be the way this voice in the head says they should be. But you know, we know the world is full of people who never had a chance to live as long as the youngest person in this room. Mm-hmm. And died in awful ways. Mm-hmm. And so there are things. There are. But that doesn't mean, that doesn't actually change our responsibility, which is to choose unconditional love, regardless of circumstances. So, when we're dying, we'll still have the same responsibility. And it's very good practice to be with whatever is going on with us at any time as a way of being ready for that. Because a lot of people, you know, go along and they don't have anything. Nothing really happened. I mean, I know people, well, probably not my age at this point, but darn close, who've never lost anyone close to them. You know, they're like 70 years old and their parents are dead. You know, this is wrong. and feel like it's sad somehow. Mm-hmm. Instead of, that's a fucking miracle. Mm-hmm. Yeah? But never bothered to get ready for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And so to be with ourselves, to practice being with ourselves in every circumstance, so that unconditional love is just such a go-to place for us, it doesn't actually matter what's going on. It's all we've got. It really is. And I know, because nobody else will hear this. but I know it's really hard to show up for, you know, like going to work every day when you don't feel well. It's really hard. And so that's when we get extra credit. Not extra self-hate. Extra credit for being remarkable. All right. Well, we'll talk again. We can count on it.